Church, this is Brian Pace, and he's going to pray for us this morning, so if you'll pray with us. Amen. Our reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
My battery went dead.
So we'll just hang on a second here. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to start preaching. I don't know what Joe's getting ready to do, but Mike McIntyre was a 37-year-old journalist who was feeling a little bit restless, and he decided, as 1993, he decided that he would embark on this project. The project was that he was going to travel across the country. He was going to start in San Francisco, California. He was going to go all the way across to Cape Fear, North Carolina. But here's the thing. On this journey, he wasn't going to take a car, and he wasn't going to take any money. All he was going to take on the journey was a backpack, and in that backpack there was going to be a handful of energy bars and a few other personal items, and then he was just going to be reliant on the kindness of strangers, like I'm right now.
All right, can you hear me? All right, good. Okay, so where was I? Oh, yes, he was going to be relying on the kindness of strangers. He wrote a book about this journey. He mentioned in the book he wanted to see if America was too suspicious to where they wouldn't let a stranger into its heart. He wanted to see what would happen. Well, it took him 6 weeks, but he eventually made it all the way to Cape Fear, North Carolina. He was helped along the way in a variety of ways. He was given rides. He was given food. He was given tips on how to sleep outside so that he would be safe. And he was helped by a wide variety of people. He was helped by many people who didn't have much, who were poor. And whatever they had, they shared. He was helped by people who were struggling with a lot of different diseases or addictions or various things like that, but who would help him along the way. And then he was also helped by some who were more well off. But at the end of the story and at the end of the book, he recognized that he had observed in this journey that America, for all of its problems and all of its issues, we still live in a country that has a place in our heart for the stranger. And when I think about Mike McIntyre and his journey, it reminds me of Luke chapter 10, which is the passage that we're studying right now, where Jesus sends out the 72 disciples to go to the towns and villages ahead of him, and he doesn't really tell them to take much with them. He says, don't take your purse, don't take your bag, don't take your sandals. He sends them out basically to be reliant on God and his provision, but also on the kindness of strangers. The first thing that Jesus tells them to do is when they get into a town or a village that they are to find a house and they're to bring a greeting of peace upon that house, and they're to see, is there a person of peace in this house? And if there is, he says, stay there. Don't move around. Don't go to any other place. Just stay right there and eat whatever is brought before you, and just let that home be kind of a home base for your ministry and mission in that town or in that village. And it's very fascinating to me that's what Jesus would tell his disciples to do, that as they go out, that a critical part of their ministry was to give and to receive kindness from strangers, that they were to welcome and be welcomed, that they were to share and offer and experience hospitality from people that they didn't know very well. And could it be that it's the same way, or should be the same way, for us? We're in the middle of this series entitled Rhythms, where we're trying to learn ordinary, regular practices to live lives of mission. And we're using this graphic right here to kind of help us understand. The first rhythm we talked about is these top five graphics, and that is that we need to spend time with God. You want to live a life on mission, you've got to have regular time with God. If you want to bear fruit in the world, you've got to have intimacy with Christ. And so we need to be praying every day, reading scripture every day, gathering with the church on a regular basis, communing with the Lord. These are just regular things that need to be involved in our life. Number two, we talked about being attentive to others. And we're using that graphic there of the handshake. Being attentive to others. So there's people all around us every single day. Whatever we're doing, there's always people. The problem is we just don't often see them. And if we would just slow down and take some time, we would notice that there are people right around us who really need the Lord. Well, the third rhythm we talked about last week was the rhythm of blessing. And we're using these two hands with a heart right here. And that as we see people and as we notice people who need the Lord, our job then is to bless them. As Jesus told his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Our job is to use our gifts, whatever those gifts are, to do what we can to bring the love and grace of Christ to those around us, to be a blessing on a regular basis, on a regular basis. Well, this morning we want to look at the fourth rhythm, and the fourth rhythm is that of hospitality, hospitality. I find it very interesting that when Jesus sent out his disciples to go to those towns and villages, he did not say that the first thing you're to do is to put up a tent for you to stay in. He didn't say, go make a reservation at the inn or the hotel. They had inns back then. He didn't say that. He didn't even say, go find a good tree that you can sleep under and it'll be cool at night. No, the first thing that he says for them to do is, I want you to go and find a house. Find a home. And I don't think Jesus was just saying that in a practical sort of way. I think there's something theological going on here. That Jesus understands there's something powerful that happens when you're in a home and you're sitting around a table together. I think there's a couple reasons for that. Number one is that whenever you're in a home, you're inviting, there's an invitation there for intimacy. And here's what I mean by that. Wherever you live, whether you have a house or an apartment or a room or something like that, wherever you live, that is your personal space. It's your territory. It's what you have. It's what you're in charge of. It's what you're the king of or the queen of. Well, when you invite someone into that space, when you invite a friend or a neighbor or someone from church into that space, you are saying something to that person. You're saying, I want to get to know you better. I want to have a closer relationship with you because I'm inviting you into my space. It's an invitation to intimacy. There's something powerful in that when you're in a home with someone. The second thing that I've even experienced this in my own life is that in a home, sitting around a table, there is rich conversation. Rich conversation. Some of the best spiritual conversations that I've had haven't happened here at church or in a Bible class. They happen around our dining room table in our home. There's just something special that happens when you're sitting around a table together. Max Lucado put it this way. He says, something holy happens around a dinner table that will never happen in a sanctuary. And I can say I agree with that because I've experienced that. This was confirmed to Lindsay and I just a few months ago. Some of you might remember that Chris Altrock, we invited Chris Altrock to come and preach here at Southside a couple years ago. He taught a class and then preached on Sunday night. Well, me and Chris are friends from Memphis, and so after he taught class, we invited Chris over to our house for lunch. And we invited a few other people. We invited Jerry and Sharon Barker, and we invited a few others, and we just had a really good lunch, and we sat around the table, and we had a rich conversation, a good spiritual conversation. Well, a few months ago, Chris Altrock came out with a new book, and that book is called Newsworthy, 9 Ways to Live the Good News Now. And I'd heard that he had come out with this new book, and so I got on Amazon, thought I'd check this book out. And on Amazon, they have that little feature where you can read the first few pages of the book. And so I click on that, and I thought, I'm just going to read the first few pages of the book. And here is how the book starts out. Here are the first words of this new book. It says this: I met Jerry on a Sunday afternoon in the oldest neighborhood in Fort Worth, Texas. He and I gathered with a small group for Sunday dinner at the home of Steve and Lindsay. I'm reading that, and I cannot believe what I'm reading. I call up Lindsay. I call up Jerry. I said, "Where's the book?" And it just confirmed to Lindsay and I, there is something powerful about sitting around a table having a conversation. He goes on to talk about the conversation we had seated around the table. And I think Jesus knew that. This is the reason why Jesus did most of his teaching in the Gospels seated around a table in a home. This is the reason why Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, it was around a table in a home. This is the reason why the early Christians were encouraged, practice hospitality. Why? Because Jesus understands that when you come together in a home and you sit around a table, God is there and powerful things happen. And so when he sends his disciples out, he says, the first thing you do is you go find a home. And you go sit around a table in that home. And you eat whatever is brought before you. Because that's how the gospel is going to be spread. That's how the kingdom of God is going to be declared, seated around a table in a home. And so if we want to live lives of mission, a critical part of that has to be welcoming people into our home or into our space, whatever that space is, and sitting around a table together. Because that's where the gospel is going to be shared. We need to live into this rhythm of hospitality. Now, my hunch is that for many of us, though, hospitality's hard. And there's probably many of us here that it's been a long time since you've had people over to your home, maybe. And you've sat around a table and shared food together. I don't know. And maybe what would help us to be more faithful in hospitality is just understanding a little bit deeper what hospitality actually is. Number one, hospitality is not simply entertaining people. Many times when we think of the word hospitality, we get this image of a Martha Stewart dinner party where there's fine china and cookies and crackers and caviar. I don't know if you've ever served caviar at your home, but sometimes that's what we have this picture in our mind. And there are some of us here that are really good at entertaining big groups of people. And you know how to do it really well. And those of you that are good at that, I want to just applaud you, and I think you've got a gift at that, and keep doing it. But there are many of us here that the idea of having big groups of people into our home, it just stresses us out. Feel free to amen somewhere along the way. It just stresses us out. Because we start becoming self-conscious. We start thinking, well, these people are going to come in. They're going to see our decorations. And they're going to think we're very good at decorating our home. They're not going to think our lawn looks good. They're not going to think our dishes look good. And what if the food doesn't taste good? And we start getting all of these self-conscious feelings. And we think, I just can't do this. And I want to try to, if you've felt that way before, let me just try to assure you right now, that's not really what hospitality is about. That might be a part of it, inviting big groups of people into your home, but that's not purely what hospitality is all about. Hospitality is about having an attitude of welcoming. It's less about hosting an event and more about an attitude. An attitude that says, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Come into my space. Come into my home. You're welcome here. It doesn't matter whether you've got a big home or whether you just got a little room. It doesn't matter whether you are old and you're older or whether you're younger. Every single one of us
can have the attitude of welcoming. And we can have a spirit that says, you're welcome here in my space. You are invited here into my space. But number two, hospitality is not just having your friends over. Now again, if you're someone who loves to have your friends over to watch the ball game or to have the cookout, that's great. That is wonderful. Keep doing that. We need to have good Christian fellowship on a regular basis. But pure hospitality is more than that. And maybe the best way to illustrate this is just to look at the Greek language. So the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia. Say that with me. Philoxenia. It's a compound word. The first half of it comes from the Greek word phileo, which means love. The second half comes from the Greek word xenos, which means stranger. Hospitality means love of the stranger. Now, there's another word in Greek that talks about love of brothers or love of sisters in that sense of brotherly love, Christian love, and that is philoadelphos, as in Philadelphia, as in the city of brotherly love. But that's a different word. Hospitality, in its pure form, is loving the stranger, inviting someone into your home, into your space, who maybe you don't know so well. Inviting that family from church who's just been here a couple times. Inviting that neighbor down the street who's just moved in. Inviting that friend who sits over in the corner to come sit with you. You might not know them very well. But hospitality says, even though you're a stranger, I'm going to invite you in to my home, into my space. That's what hospitality in its pure form is. But then number three, hospitality is not simply reciprocity. It's not simply doing something for someone so that they will do something for you later. It's not inviting that family over because maybe they'll invite us over to their big house someday. It's not a political dinner where we invite someone over so that they'll do something that'll be to our advantage down the road. It's not a scratch your back and I'll scratch yours, scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. It's not that kind of idea. Hospitality is about generosity. It's about giving. It's about loving. It's about welcoming. It's about offering hope and grace and saying, you are welcome here and come in. Even though you're a stranger, come in, because we want to demonstrate to you the love of Christ. I think a good passage that illustrates all three of these ideas is Luke 14. And if you have your Bibles, please open them to Luke 14 and look at this with me. Luke chapter 14 could be called the hospitality chapter, because Jesus is seated around a table in a home as he's teaching. And he teaches through the whole chapter about hospitality, about giving and receiving it. And notice what he says in verses 12 and 13 about giving hospitality. It says, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends. Well, hang on a second, Jesus. I must have misread there. Let me read that again. When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friend. What? What are you talking about here, Jesus? You don't want us to invite our friends? You don't want us to invite our brothers and relatives or rich neighbors? Why? Because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Because hospitality is not about reciprocity. It's about generosity. Because hospitality is not simply about having your friends over. It's about welcoming the stranger. He's trying to teach us something here. Instead, he says in verse 13, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is saying, hospitality, it's about welcoming in that person who may not be able to repay you down the road. Welcoming that person that you don't know real well, that person who maybe has got some struggles, it's inviting them in and saying, you're welcome here. He said, hang on a second, Steve, that's a little bit risky. I mean, because if I invite someone in who I don't know real well, they're going to see how we live and they're going to see our home, and that's just going to be a little bit awkward. You're exactly right. At times, hospitality is a little bit awkward. And it's a little bit messy. And it's a little bit chaotic. Having people over is not always easy and simple. It would be great if every time you had someone into your home, that your home was perfectly clean and there was no piece of fuzz on the carpet. And all the kids were dressed cute and all the dishes looked really nice and the food tasted really good and the conversation was lively. But that is not the real world, church. That is not the real world. That's not the way hospitality is. Hospitality is recognizing that our family is not perfect. My life is not perfect, and that's okay. I'm still going to invite you in to share the love of God. One person put it this way in his writing. He says, you cannot have a home that is warm and full and inviting. You cannot have every child cared for while also having every dish done and every sock laundered. You just can't. I appreciated his honesty there. You just can't have everything perfect. If you're going to wait till everything's perfect before you invite someone in, you're never going to invite anybody in. Hospitality says, I need the grace of God, just like anybody does, but I'm going to invite you in, and we're going to share that grace together. I like the way one blogger put it. She said, I just start texting this picture and saying, this is the way my daughter's room looks, but I still want you to come over. I like that. Hospitality is a little bit risky. It's a little bit messy. It's going to be a little bit chaotic. But Jesus understood as he sent his disciples, if you want the gospel to spread, it's going to happen through welcome homes and open tables. That's how the gospel is spread. The gospel is demonstrated when we say, hey, my house isn't perfect, but come on over. Let's sit around a table and let's share food together. And if you want to be a missionary, it's not hard. That's what we're talking about this whole series. If you want to be a missionary, it's not hard. Here's what you do to be a missionary. Invite people over to your home. Welcome the stranger. Invite that couple that's sitting down the pew from you. Invite that family that you've started to get to know here at church. Invite them over. That neighbor down the street who just moved in. Invite them over. That student who sits on the corner of the dining room or the cafeteria table, invite them to your table. That college student who's down the hall, who always stays in their room, invite them over into your room. You want to be a missionary? It starts there. A welcome home and an open table. And so I want to issue us a challenge. The hospitality challenge. This is a great month to have people over. It's a good season to do this. And so here's what I want you to do. This, over the next few weeks, have someone over into your home or into your space, wherever it is. And even if it's someone who you know pretty well, I'll give you a pass on that one, okay? I'll give you a pass. Just have people into your home. And then take a picture. Put it up on social media with this hashtag, Hospitality Challenge. And let's just see if we can't flood social media with pictures of people around tables. Y'all think that's cheesy, don't you? I'm serious about this, okay? Because wouldn't it be great to see pictures of people gathered around tables? Because that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. Go find a home. Go sit around a table. Because that's where the gospel is shared. My favorite hospitality story in my life, I think I've told it before, but I'm going to tell it again, is when I was in college. And me and a couple buddies, we were traveling around Europe, and we were kind of like Mike McIntyre. We were living out of a backpack on a shoestring budget, sleeping on trains, and it was just, we were tired and we were hungry. But someone had given me this email address of this military family in Germany, and I had emailed them a couple weeks previously saying, hey, I'm a Harding student, going to be traveling near you. Could we stay with you guys? And they didn't know who I didn't know who they were. I mean, they just knew I was a Harding student. I knew they were Christians. That was about it. But they said, yeah, sure, come on. Well, that was a few weeks prior. I hadn't had internet access for quite some time. I didn't know if this thing was still going to work. I didn't know if something had come up. But we're in Germany, and we're heading towards their house. And so we're about 30 minutes away, and I give them a call. I have this phone number. I don't know if it's the right number. I don't know if there's some mistake. I don't know if anybody's going to answer, but I have this phone number. I call, and the guy answers. I said, "Hey, Steve Clore, I emailed you a couple weeks ago about us coming, and is it still okay for us to stay? And I don't know what's going to happen." And the guy says, "Oh, yeah, your rooms are ready. And I'm going to put the gumbo on the stove so it's hot when you get here." And for a 19-year-old who was hungry, who had been sleeping on trains, I could have cried at that moment. Because we were strangers. And they were welcoming us in. That's the call of following Jesus. I was a stranger. And you invited me in. Let's pray. God, we come to you right now. And as Lee mentioned, we've been the stranger. And you have invited us in. So Lord, help us to live into this rhythm where as we meet people, that we'll have the courage and the love to invite them in to our homes and into our lives. Because we know as we sit around a table, that's where the gospel can be shared. That's where your love can be demonstrated. And help us to be a church that has welcome homes and open tables. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you're a stranger here this morning, we want you to know that you are welcome here. And we're going to have our invitation. And really, our invitation is an exercise in welcoming. It's a chance for us to have our spiritual leaders surround the auditorium. And then if you have something on your heart, if you have a burden, you have sin that needs to be repented of, you can come to one of these leaders and we welcome you. And we give you a hug and we pray over you and we make you feel loved. And so if there's a way we can help you this morning, we want to do that. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to welcome you into the body of Christ. Please come now. Let's stand and let's sing.